Please stand as you are able for the gospel reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them yet. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. Like many of you, I have a smartphone. I bought this iPhone a couple years ago, and I got the one with the least amount of gigabytes on it because it was the cheapest. Now, for those of you who aren't tech savvy, the more gigabytes you have, the more storage you have. And they come in other sizes. Think like 32 and 64 gigabytes. So compared to 32 and 64, 16 gigabytes isn't a whole lot of storage space. So I'm constantly having to negotiate the storage space on my phone, which I even did this morning before we came to church. I was asking my husband to help me free up some space, because if I take too many pictures and videos of my daughter, which I do, it takes up too much storage. And I have to delete something else to free up some space, or I have to download the pictures off of my phone to my computer to free up some space to take more pictures. So I'm constantly having to negotiate the amount of use space and free space on my cell phone. And I'm constantly getting the message that there is not enough space. And now they have the iCloud, or you can, save stuff to the cloud, whatever that is, out there. But even there, I run out of space. I get a message on my computer saying there's not enough space. Click here to purchase more storage. So I'm constantly faced with this message that there is not enough. In our story from John, we see this message coming from some of Jesus' disciples. Jesus and his disciples are on top of a mountain, and a crowd follows them there, and this crowd is hungry. Then Jesus asks his disciple Philip a question. "Where can we buy enough food to feed these people?" And Philip sees the enormous crowd surrounding them, about 5,000 or more people. And he quickly does the math. He calculates that more than 6 months' salary wouldn't be enough to give everyone even in the crowd even a small piece of bread. I can see Philip standing there, looking at the crowd, and looking back at Jesus like Jesus has lost his mind. I can hear him saying, "Jesus, you do see this huge crowd, right? You do understand how much food it would take to feed this huge crowd, right?" He's saying there's no way we can feed everyone here. There's not enough food. There's not enough money to buy the food. There's just not enough. And then his friend Andrew pipes up. Now, Andrew has surveyed the crowd and taken inventory of their resources. He says, "Well, there is a youth here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what good are they among so many people?" In other words, he's saying, there's not enough loaves. There's not enough fish. There's just not enough. Now, Philip and Andrew seem like practical guys to me. They take stock of the crowd and their resources and realistically calculate the supply and demand of the situation. There are only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the story tells us that the 5 loaves were barley bread, which was the cheapest kind of bread you could get at that time. Barley was the bad leftover bread that the king didn't want. So this tells us that the 5 loaves and 2 fish that they had were meager. It was traveling food of people who were poor. So they have a meager 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they're about 5,000 people. The ratio here is a ratio of scarcity. There is not enough to meet the needs of the crowd. It seems like we live in a world that is dominated by this ratio of scarcity, where there is not enough. Advertisements try to convince us that we don't have enough. We don't have enough youthful appearance. We don't have enough luxury. We don't have enough fun. We don't have enough clothes. We don't have enough gadgets. We don't have enough storage space on our iPhones. They tell us we don't have enough to live a happy, fulfilled life, and we need their product in order to be satisfied. This ratio of scarcity permeates our society and paints a picture of our country where there is not enough. There are not enough jobs for everyone. There is not enough money for everyone. There is not enough success for everyone. There is not enough health care for everyone. There is not enough safety and security for everyone. And this ratio of scarcity can even permeate our churches. There's never enough people. There's never enough money. There's never enough youth or children. There's never enough space. And we find ourselves having to constantly negotiate this ratio of scarcity. Since there aren't enough jobs for everyone, then we need to stop people from coming into our country and stealing our jobs. Since there isn't enough success for everyone, then we need to keep others from rising up and stealing what we have earned. Since there isn't enough health care for everyone, we need to do all that we can to keep the system that allows us to keep our health care without regard to those who can't afford it. Since there isn't enough money for everyone, then we need to make sure we keep our money for ourselves. In this constant negotiation in the ratio of scarcity, fear drives us. The fear of not enough drives us to only focus on what we don't have and to hoard for ourselves to the neglect of others. We see this fear in action in Nashville every time there's snow in the forecast. Whenever there is the slightest chance of snow, the grocery stores are packed with crowds of people and the shelves of milk and bread are empty. It is a ratio of scarcity. This fear of not having enough drives us, and it is a real, valid fear. Many of us, like Philip and Andrew, are practical people. We can take stock of our resources and the need of our family, and we can do the math. There are times when there really is not enough. There is not enough money to pay the bills and put food on the table. There is not enough health care to cover our medical expenses. And we can look around us in our community and world and see that there are people living in this ratio of scarcity where they really don't have enough food and water. They really don't have enough access to quality health care. They really don't have enough good permanent shelter. In the ratio of scarcity, in this story in John, where Philip and Andrew answer Jesus with the reality that there is not enough, they forget one important factor. They didn't factor Jesus into the ratio. In the midst of scarcity, Jesus does something unexpected. Jesus breaks forth abundance. This image of abundance is portrayed right after the image of scarcity that the disciples describe. Jesus tells the disciples to have the people sit down, and then we are told a detail that seems kind of random, and it seems like something we could easily skim over. But it is an important detail. We are told that there is a great deal of grass. I want you to imagine with me the biggest field you have ever seen, with grass stretching as far as you can see in every direction. This image of plenty of grass is an image of abundance. There is plenty of grass, plenty of space for everyone in the crowd to sit down. And not only that, this image of grass brings forth the image of a pasture where sheep are fed. It foreshadows the scene that comes several chapters after this story in chapter 10 of John, where Jesus claims to be the good shepherd who provides protection and provision. And he says in verse 10 of that chapter, "I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly." And after the disciples have the people sit down on the abundance of grass, Jesus uses the meager meal of 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish to provide enough food for every person in a crowd of 5,000 to eat until they are full and satisfied. And after everyone is full and satisfied, there are even 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 baskets. Now we find this story of the feeding of the 5,000 in all 4 Gospels in the New Testament. But the difference here in John's Gospel is that Jesus feeds the people. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples are the ones who hand out the food. But the Gospel of John wants to highlight that Jesus is the source of abundance. Jesus is the good shepherd who feeds the sheep in the pasture. Jesus provides the people with the basic necessities of life as a good shepherd does. He provides for their physical needs and gives them more bread than they could ever want. But he goes beyond the basic needs of the crowd to provide abundant life, more life than they could ever want. If you want to know what abundant life tastes like, it tastes like more bread than you could ever want. In the presence of Jesus, there is always enough. There is more than enough. At God's table, there is more than enough for everyone. more than enough love, more than enough grace, more than enough forgiveness, more than enough space. At God's table, there is no hoarding of resources in fear. At God's table, there is no need to negotiate resources in the ratio of scarcity. At God's table, there is more than enough. Now, this abundance of God's table is not the same as prosperity gospel. Abundance in God's presence doesn't translate to an abundance of material treasures. God doesn't promise us that if we follow God, then we will be blessed with more than enough money, more than enough success, more than enough clothes, more than enough boats. That's not the kind of abundance that God is providing. The abundance that God is that is found in God's presence could be as simple as providing for the basic needs to sustain life, like food and water. Abundance is found when God takes meager resources and provides sustenance and life for many. This abundance is seen whenever someone shows up at the doorstep of a family in need, bringing them fresh food to eat. It may not seem like a lot, but this provision of the basic necessities of life, such as food, is part of the abundant life that God offers. In order to thrive, people need the basic things like food, water, and shelter. But the other part of the abundant life that God offers goes beyond providing for our basic needs. It involves finding well-being and wholeness in being connected to Jesus, who is the source of life. Jesus offers himself as the source of a full and satisfied life, where there is more than enough love and grace for everyone. Mother Teresa was a Catholic nun who felt a call to serve those who were in the most need. She began the Missionaries of Charity, a small order of 13 members. The primary mission of the Missionaries of Charity is to provide care for people who no one else is prepared to care for. Now, 13 members may not seem like a whole lot in the face of the thousands and millions of people who are sick and in need. But in the decades following its beginning, the order grew to thousands of members caring for those in orphanages and charity centers. Through the meager resources of Mother Teresa and the Missionaries of Charity, people are given more than just food and shelter. They are being offered life in the presence of Jesus. They are being offered connection to Jesus, who is the source of life, where there is more than enough love for them, more than enough care for them, more than enough space for them when there is a lack of space for them in the world. In a world filled with fear and scarcity that has us constantly negotiating the ratio of our meager resources to the many needs, there is more than enough at God's table. As you encounter real scarcity in your life and in the lives of others, I invite you to remember that Jesus is in the ratio of scarcity, providing life that is overflowing with sustenance, love, and grace for you and for everyone. There is more than enough at God's table. Thanks be to God. Amen.